It is the Christian dilemma. The Christian dilemma is, I have Jesus in my life, but yet I keep messing up. I don't want to do what's wrong, but I somehow seem to do it again. Matter of fact, I hate doing what's wrong, but there are times that I do it anyway. What's wrong with me? I love Christ. Christ is in me. Why do I keep doing the things that I don't want to do? Why don't I do the things that I want to do? The things that God is calling me to do? Why am I hesitant? Why do I not move forward? What is my problem? My problem is I am human. My problem is the sinful nature is still living in me. My problem is I want to do better, but man, it's so hard. And then I feel guilty when I don't. And then I don't do anything. And then I feel like giving up. What should I do? What should I do? What should I do? Our scripture today and the talk is from Romans chapter 7, verses 7 through 25. We'll be looking at some other scriptures as well. I need to say that the writer of this letter, when he wrote the letter to the Romans, there was something that was taken for granted. And what was taken for granted was that people believed in God. That who he was writing to, there was this understanding that the majority of the people that would read this had a foundation of a belief in God. And that's not always true today. However, what is true today, whether you believe in God or not, is the idea of, I want to do right all the time, but I never do right all the time. Whether you believe in God or not, that's true. I want to do right all the time. I want to live right all the time, but I don't always do it. So that's the dilemma that is addressed in the scriptures today. I'm going to start reading in verse 7. It's kind of a lengthy read. If you have your Bibles, you can read along with me or follow along. There will be the scripture on the screen behind me. I do need to say that as an introduction to the first verse that I will read, what shall we say then is the law sin? Just previous to that, the Apostle Paul, who is writing, says that the law was something that I used to live by, but I'm no longer living by it because it showed me that I was sinful. So now I don't want to live by the law. Is there something wrong with the law? And so he says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not, he writes. Indeed, I would not have known what sin was except through the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, do not covet. But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetousness desire. For apart from the law, sin is dead. Here's an example. Gary and Errol. Gary and Errol, in some time past, did not have a signal there or a stop sign. But in order that lives would not be put in danger, a stop sign was put there. So now it's the law to stop when you come to the intersection of Gary and Errol. Before, I could just go through. Well, I didn't break any law. I could just pass through, make sure everybody, nobody was coming, and I could just go through. But now they put a stop sign there, so now I have to stop. But my nature says, Pastor, just look both ways and keep going fast. I just broke a law. Sinful nature, the law. Before there was a law, there was no trespass. But now that there is a law, I'm guilty. And if the red lights come up behind me, I have to go to court or pay the fine. Once I was alive apart from the law. But when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. I'll explain that in a moment. I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me. And through the commandment, put me to death. So then the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, righteous, and good. Did that which is good, the law, then become death to me? Oh, no, by no means. That wasn't it. But in order that sin might be recognized as sin, the heinous thing that it is, the seriousness of it, in order that we may see how serious sin is, it produced death in me. Whoa, what a consequence. It produced death in me through what was good. That was the law. So that through the commandment, sin might become utterly sinful. We could see what it is. This is a terrible thing. If I do it or if I don't, if I miss the mark, what's the consequence? It's death, Pastor Monte. Oh, my goodness. That's some serious. Could the consequence be any more grave? We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. So if I run that stop sign and I know that I shouldn't really do that, I'm saying that that stop sign is in the right place. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it's sin living in me. Oh, my goodness. Sin living in me? I thought it was just something I did. It's something that's in me, living in me? I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it's no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, right, I delight in God's law. Love it. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of law and sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, right? Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. I'm kind of messed up. But you know what? We're all messed up together. I said last night at the Saturday evening service, I said, we're all normal. And then I changed that. We're all infected with the sinful nature. every single one of us, infected with the sinful nature. The writer, as I said earlier, presupposes a belief in God who is creator and has given us a standard to live by, the law. God has given us the law. Maybe some people consider that the Ten Commandments. If you're Jewish, it's 613 commandments you have to keep. And those commandments have been either revealed by God directly or understood by those who are trying to do right and then eventually written into existence. But to help us understand the text a little bit better, I would like to look at two terms. And there you can follow me along in the center of the bulletin. The two terms that I would like to look at initially are sin and the law. I'd like us to understand how the writer of this letter uses those two terms, because he uses them differently if you look at it. And I'll explain some of those things. Sin or sinful, some derivative of the word sin, is used over 15 times in that passage that I just read. Here are some ways it is used. It is used to mean that I am not living according to God's law, how it's been revealed or how I understand it. The Ten Commandments, you can read those in Exodus. You can read them again in Deuteronomy, are the basis of the laws that we say God wants us to live by. The Ten Commandments, though, they set for us a standard to live. This is how you're supposed to live. And sin, one of the things that the word sin means is missing the mark. You don't live up to the standard. So here's the standard, Pastor, the Ten Commandments. Here's the standard. Let's see if you can keep them. And every time you don't keep them, you miss the mark. You sin when you don't hit it. But sin is also used not only as something that I do or I don't do, missing the mark. It is also used as a condition that I have. In Romans 7:20, one of the verses that I just read, Paul says this: sin living in me that does it. It's a condition. It's a condition. It's not something that I do or I don't do. It's a condition that I have. In verse 7 again, he says initially, he shows that sin is used as something that puts a value on something. Talking about the law. Is the law sinful? That's a value. Is there something wrong with it? He uses sinful or sin that way. You shall not covet, meaning I shall not yearn to possess that nice, pretty blue t-shirt you have on, Larry, because I don't have one like that. And man, if you ever put that down, and I'm around, I might just possess it, right? I'm yearning to possess. And we see that that's sinful, right? And I used his nice blue t-shirt, but sometimes it's another person, or sometimes it's somebody else's property, whatever that may be. And if I'm just burning with desire for it, it is called sin. That's a bad thing. We see that, or we know that sin separates. So sin is missing the mark. Sin is a condition that I have. Sin is a judgment. Sinful is used as a judgment on the nature of something. But it also separates. Isaiah 59:2, many of us know this. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. It is as when I sin, this is what happens. God turns his back on me. How many of us want that? God to turn his back on us? None of us. We don't want that. But sin causes that to happen. In its more grave consequences, sin condemns. Genesis 2:17, when God gave the commandment to Adam and Eve, don't eat of something, because if you eat of the tree, you will surely die. And they ate, and they were condemned. Sin brings death, for the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. Sin restricts. Paul says in that passage there that I am a slave sold to sin. A slave sold to sin. Against my will, a slave is restricted. For those of us that are African American in this country, we understand slavery to be a bad thing. Something that was against our ancestors' will, but yet they were restricted. No freedom. And sin does that to us. It restricts us. It's like a captor that holds me against my will. Sin is powerful. It's very powerful. Sin produces fear. Going back to the garden account, when after Adam and Eve did partake of the fruit, and God came and he called Adam's name. Adam! Where are you, Adam? I was hiding because I was afraid. After the act, if you had children and you walk into the house and there's something bursted on the kitchen table, and you walk in and you, Larry, Larry's not coming out for a hug. Right? Because he's afraid. He's violated something. He's done something to cause tension in the relationship. Sin does that. And then finally, sin deceives. Seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, sin deceived me and brought death. Deceived me. Here's how it works in our life today. There's something that we think we shouldn't do. That's their initial thought. And then we convince ourselves that it's okay. You ever did that? Or was it just me? Just me? I'm the only one that tries to convince himself. I know this is wrong. Well, maybe if. Or and then I give myself permission to sin. I give myself permission to sin. Sin deceives me. It deceives me. Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Jesus says in Mark 7 that the evils come from within. I can't even trust myself. So that's one term, sin. It is what I do or what I don't do. It's what I have. It's a judgment on nature. It condemns. It brings death. It restricts. It produces fear. It deceives. And that is something that is in me. The law is the other term. The law or the commands or the commandments 13 times in this passage is here. And usually when you talk to people or even when you think of it for yourself of, well, why don't you just do what God wants you to do? If that means keeping the Ten Commandments. And we find a way, or the oftentimes the expression is, but it's so restrictive. I can figure out what's right or wrong. Oh, really? Sinful nature. Deceiving. I can figure out what's right or wrong. I don't need someone or God to tell me what's right or wrong. I can figure that out. Oh, Pastor, it is the wrong way of looking at things, because the right way to look at it is that God the Creator has made me. He knows all things. He knows what's good for me, what is not good for me. And if I do things His way, it brings life. Amen. Right? Even if I don't understand it, it brings life. That's trust. That when God tells me or indicates to me that I should go to Mike, and I should say something to Mike, and I do that, that brings life. Right? Even if I don't, well, but maybe he doesn't want to talk to me. Maybe he won't hear me. Maybe he doesn't like me. Well, say it in the right way, Pastor, and maybe he'll listen to you. Right? Oh, so there's more work. There's always work for us to do. Always work for us to do. So, the law is not restrictive. The law gives life. The law is also spiritual. In Romans 7:14, what I just read, we know that the law is spiritual because it comes from God who is spirit. There are spiritual ramifications of keeping the law or breaking the law. There are spiritual consequences of keeping the law or breaking the law. There's a spiritual element to the law. The law is holy. The law is righteous. The law is good. All of these thoughts are found in Romans 7:14 or Romans 7:12. So it's spiritual, it's holy, it's righteous, and it's good, the law. And it's also used, though, in a different way. It's used to talk about the word law, the way things work, such as the law of gravity, right? The way things work. Or the law of living on this earth, that all living mammals need oxygen. That's the law of the way things work. And it's used that way, too. So I find this law at work, making me a prisoner of the law of sin. Whoa. Whoa. That law is working in me? That I'm a prisoner? A law that makes me a prisoner? That's the law. That's not a good law. But it is true. I am a prisoner of the law of sin. I need some help here. Can you see that? Can you see I need help? I want to do good, but I don't good. I've got sin living in me, and even though I don't like it, I can't get rid of it. What a wretched person I am. Help me, Sister Lily. Help me. Let's look at, go to the next one. I want to try to understand ourselves. We've got these two natures. Those of us that have said yes to Jesus Christ have two natures living inside of us, the sinful nature and the Spirit of Christ living inside of us. Those of us that have said yes to Jesus Christ. Those of us who have not said yes to Jesus Christ only have the first nature that I will talk about. It is the sinful nature, and here are the characteristics. My sinful nature, I am unspiritual, I am a slave, I am a prisoner, I am wretched. I am unspiritual, I'm a slave, I'm a prisoner, and I'm wretched. Unspiritual meaning I'm unlike God. As a matter of fact, in Ephesians, the second chapter, it says, by nature, I'm an object of God's wrath. By nature. I didn't even do anything. I was just born. But by nature, you will be an object of God's wrath. Oh, my goodness. This is serious stuff. This is not good news. Why were you dancing here just a minute ago, Larry, if this is all true? Because you know part two. You know part two. I know you do. Jesus said this, all who sin are slaves to sin. All who sin are slaves to sin. So if you've never sinned, raise your hand. Put my hand down too. We're slaves to sin. That's, oh my goodness. A slave when you are by nature a slave to sin. It says in Romans 7:25, in the sinful nature, a slave to sin. I am also a prisoner. I'm held against my will. I don't want this, but I'm held against my will. I am wretched, miserable, pitiful, dejected, shameful. And the condition is incurable. I am permanently infected with the sin condition. Permanently infected. Permanently. But I have this other nature inside me too. It's the Christ-like nature. What are the characteristics of that? If I've said yes to Jesus Christ and I'm living His way, I've got this nature living inside of me too. The Christ-like nature. I'm spiritual. I am a servant. I am righteous. I am spiritual. I am a servant. I am righteous. Romans 7:6 says this, by dying to what once bound us, the law of sin and death once bound me. By dying to that, because I've come to have Jesus Christ in my life, I have died to that. We have been released. We have been released from the law so that we now serve in the new way of the Spirit. As a prisoner of sin, I'm a slave. I'm held against my will. But as one who is in Christ, I am free and I serve with my will. You see that? Slave against my will to sin, serve with my will in Christ. Which one you want? Which one? Huh? You want to be a slave against your will, or do you want to serve with your will? Yeah, that's a no-brainer. Me too. Me too. Where am I? In my notes. Okay, yeah, so I'm spiritual because the Spirit of God lives in me. I'm a servant now, and I am also righteous. Where'd you get that from, Pastor? Well, I read my Bible sometimes, you know. And when I read my Bible, 1 John chapter 1, the 9th verse says that when I do sin, that if I confess it, that God purifies me and cleanses me from all unrighteousness. That's the benefit of being on this side, of being in Christ. So it's not that I don't sin now, even in Christ. I am not sinless, but I should sin less. Can I say that again? Right? Thank you, Pastor. You gave that to me Tuesday night. I'm not sinless, but I should sin less. And when I do sin, I have the ability to be cleansed from the unrighteousness of it all. And I am no longer a slave to the law of sin and death. You sin, you die. I'm no longer a slave to that anymore because I'm in Christ. I am now under the law of life in the Spirit. That's why Larry and I get excited up here, right? And Lola, you were getting excited too. I saw you today. I did my wife like that. I said, look at Lola. Lola's gone. Okay, let's understand the remedy, Christ and the law. All right, understanding the remedy, Christ and the law. Christ satisfied the law of sin and death. So Christ didn't come to destroy the law. He came to satisfy it. Right? Because the law is good. It's not bad. Right? So he came to fulfill the good law. How did he do that? He did it this way. I got to read. Romans chapter 7, 24, 8, 1 through 4. Reads this way. What a wretched man I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's the answer. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, the law could not make me righteous. The law could not have my sins forgiven and free me. The law couldn't do that. All the law did was saying, this is the standard you should make, and if you mess up, you're going to die. That's the law. But for the law, what was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, I could have kept the law if I didn't have the sinful nature. I would have been all right. You could give me those Ten Commandments, and I could keep them if I didn't have the sinful nature. But I have the sinful nature, so that's a problem. For what the law was powerless to do, that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did. Huh? This is why we say God loved us. Because the law was, if I sin, I die. And God loved me so much, he didn't want to see me die. So he made a way so that I didn't have to die. How did he do that? God did this by sending his own son in the likeness of a sinful man, the human form, to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin and sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met. You see that? Somebody had to die when I sinned, and it used to be me. But God sent his son to die for me in my place. But it's not automatic, all right? I want you to understand that. It's not automatic. In other words, I don't get over here automatically, and I don't stay over here automatically. It's not magic. There is responsibility on my end, and I'll talk about that. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful man, and so he condemned sin and sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Which way are you going to live? Without Christ, I don't have a choice. I'm locked in. I'm a slave. With Christ, even though the sinful nature is still there, I have a choice now. I have the ability to be free. I have the ability to live differently. I have the ability to be seen as righteous. I have the ability to serve with my will. Over here, I'm a captive. Over here, I'm free. You getting it? Wave your hanky, right? That's Christ and the law. Christ and the Spirit. Romans 8, 9 to 14. If you're following in your Bible, it's just a little few verses down. This is Christ and the Spirit. If you want to know about the Spirit, the new way we live. You, however, that have said yes to Jesus Christ, are not controlled by the sinful nature. You are no longer dominated by that. Yes, it's there, but it's not the controlling factor. But by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, that's interesting, Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, same thing. He does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. You like that one? There's more good news. Therefore, brothers, we have, and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature. Oh, this is sinful nature on that side. Okay. But it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. What? I can live different. Yeah, remember, you can live now. You can serve differently. You can do this with your will. There's provision made for you. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received a spirit of sonship. Hallelujah. A spirit of sonship. For those who live by the Spirit are children of the Spirit. Let me give you three winning strategies. We want to live according to the Spirit. You want to live and please God. You want to serve God. Let me give you three winning strategies. Three winning strategies. Two, live according to the law of the Spirit. Strategy number one, let's set our minds, setting our minds. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, Romans 8:5. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Where do we set our minds? This is because we live here, we can choose. We can choose where we set our minds. How do I do that, Pastor? Hey, this is where we talk about all the time. Prayer. Read your Bible. Be in groups with other people. Support what's going on in God's kingdom. That's setting your mind. That is intentionally setting your mind to do things that please God. And if you're not sure of whether or not it pleases God, ask one of our leaders around the church. We can help make it clear. Right, Pastor Allen? Pastor Fred likes to pick on you a lot, so I'm going to do it too. Yes. Yeah. It is about putting ourselves in environments and places to think about God and what He wants from our lives. That's what it's about. And it's necessary because this other thing is still living inside of me. It's not like the sinful nature is gone now. It's still there. It's still pulling. It's still tugging. It's still tempting. It's there. So I need to put my mind, which I can choose to do, in a place where God can constantly be in communication with it. That's setting my mind. Offer your bodies. Strategy number two. Offering our bodies. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies that you obey its evil desires. I'm reading from Romans 6, 12, and 13. Do not let sin reign. Oh, remember over here? I had no choice. I'm a slave to sin. But over here, I don't have to let it reign. I can choose. Do not let sin reign in your body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. And I like this word instrument, because when I started thinking about it, I thought about an instrument, like something you play, right? I can be an instrument that God plays. And I said, that's kind of nice. But then I started thinking of some other things and doing a little research. And then it says an instrument could also be a means or a channel. You like that one? That I become a means of what God is doing around me. That through me, God is doing things. Through my text messaging, God is doing. You're a means or a channel through my teaching, through my lifestyle, through my preaching, through the way I love people, through my conversations, through my giving, through my living, I become a channel. And then I saw another word that I really, really liked. Means or a channel. I like this one even more. A catalyst. Oh, a catalyst is a change agent that God uses me to change things. Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one, that God uses me to change the way, the condition of somebody from sin, dominated by the sinful nature, but now living in the Spirit. God could use me to do that. God could use me to pray and encourage somebody who was down, and it changes their disposition. God could use me a lot of different ways. I'm a change. I change things around me. Where I am, the place is better because God is working in me to help change things. Think about that. Think about that. Yeah, you can clap, Nora. I like that. Think about that. But last point is this. It is a moment by moment decision. I want you to understand that. It's a moment by moment decision. It's not you make a decision at 8 o'clock in the morning and you're good for the rest of the day. Sorry. Doesn't work like that. It's not a time where you come up here and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me for all of my sins. You're my Lord and Master, and it's all over. It doesn't work that way. We have to have moment by moment decisions to serve, to offer our bodies, to love, to be God's hands, God's feet. It's moment by moment decisions, because when you're out, when you leave this place and you're interacting with people you know at work, people you go to school with, people you live by, people that live in your home, when you're interacting with them, that's where the rubber meets the road. Be aware. The Spirit of God will speak to you. The Spirit of God will say, do this, don't do that. And when we follow that, it's life-giving. It's changed, life-changing, even for other people. When we mess up, we should feel bad, but don't let it be a limit. Use the advantage we have of being in Jesus Christ. Confess your sins. Repent from them. That means if I catch myself gossiping, repent means I learn to say good things about people instead of bad things about people. I spread good news. That's repentance. It's doing the opposite. If I catch myself cheating, stealing, taking, instead of doing that, I'm now going to repent. I'm going to give. I'm going to bless. This is what repentance is. It's doing the opposite. Why don't we all stand? Lord, you have spoken to us and highlighted, I pray, the benefits of being in your Son, Jesus Christ. The benefits have been highlighted because we realize that prior your Son Jesus coming into our lives, we didn't have a choice. We were slaves to sin. We were bound for death. By nature, we were objects of your wrath. But now, Lord, when we say yes to Lord Jesus, and we invite you into our lives, we are no longer bound by that law, but we now live in another law. We live under the law of the life of the Spirit. And Lord, we thank you for that. We want to serve now, Lord. We want to serve by our own will, by our own volition, not because pastor says I need to do something, but because I want to bless you. And I want to be a change agent for you, because I know when I do that, Lord, life is abundant and life is good. So help me, Lord, I pray. I'd like to offer for somebody that may be in here this morning, because I don't know everybody, maybe somebody in here that has not made that decision to step out of the condemnation that comes from sinning because Jesus Christ is not the Lord of your life. What do I mean by that? Let me make it plain and simple. Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, that you will follow his way and not your way. You will follow his way and not your way. As he reveals it to you, as you learn it, you will follow that. And you recognize that that has not been true up to this point. So if you want that, if you want Jesus to come into your life, if you want to live according to the life of the Spirit, it's simply a matter of acknowledging the way I used to live or have been living is not as Jesus as my Lord. I've not been living life with him as the boss. I've been living life my way. But now, today, I want to change. I want to change. I no longer want to be a slave to sin. No longer. No longer.